Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Local Shop Podcast. I'm Chris Noyce, and this is the podcast, as always, for everything to do with the convenience sector and the issues facing local shops. Now, on this episode of the podcast, we're going to be talking to some more retailers about how they're getting on with increased demand and social distancing. We've got another radio interview with James to play for you. And, of course, all the latest updates on what's happening in government in terms of support for you and your businesses. So let's get to that first, then. As you might have noticed, it's been a pretty significant shift from last week when most businesses were still open. Since Saturday morning, the government has put in place a strict set of guidelines for the public with only four reasons for leaving the house. And these are as follows. Number one, you can leave the house for exercise once a day. You can leave the house to shop for food and essentials. You can leave the house to go to work if you're unable to work from home. And you can leave the house if there's a medical need to do so or to help a vulnerable person. Next then, in terms of new support from government, there are a couple of things to be aware of. This morning, actually, we had an update from government about a delay of 3 months for filing accounts, which is obviously welcome for any retailers that are just flat out really busy with everything to do with, you know, increased demand. So that 3 month delay in accounting, you do still have to apply for that, but you, if you cite that COVID-19 is the reason for this, then you'll basically get it automatically. So that's really welcome. And the other thing is about contactless payment, and we've talked about encouraging people to use contactless payment in stores. The limit on contactless payment is currently £30. From the 1st of April, that limit will be increasing to £45. So hopefully that'll be useful in making sure that people can still use contactless for pretty big basket spends in small stores. There are also only a few business types now that should be open. Convenience stores are, of course, one of these businesses, and there are a few others that are relevant to listeners. So let's go through those now. These are food delivery and takeaway services, supermarkets, of course, health shops, pharmacies, petrol stations, corner shops and newsagents, off licences, including those shops that are within breweries, and that's a change from previous guidance up until today. And of course, post offices as well can stay open. So basically, whatever type of convenience store you are, whether you're a rural newsagent or a city centre petrol station, you are able to stay open. But the way you trade now is likely to be slightly different. Now, one of the biggest things that's changed really over the last week is that the government is now encouraging everyone to stay at least 2 metres apart as part of what everyone by now knows and what I mentioned earlier as social distancing. Now, for shops, especially small ones, I guess this is a challenge. We're doing what we can to help on this. We've produced notices for stores explaining to customers that they should stay 2 metres apart and to encourage the use of things like contactless payment in store to minimise the use of cash and crossover of potential germs or that sort of thing. All of those notices are available to download on our website. I'll give the link at the end of this podcast. One of the first small shops that I saw putting in the social distancing measures in place was One Stop Mount Nod. So I gave Aman a call earlier from the store to see how they're getting on. Hi, Aman, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you, Chris?
Yeah, very good, thank you. So I assume the store's been pretty busy over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's been extremely busy over the past couple of weeks. Very challenging but rewarding at the same time.
Yeah, I can imagine. So for anyone who doesn't know where the store is or what kind of store you're running, could you just give us sort of a brief explanation of where you're trading and what the store's like?
Yeah, sure. So I run a family-run one-stop franchise store in Coventry. We're in the Mount Nod area, and it's like a residential store on an estate.
Great. And I guess this is one of the stores that lots of local people are going to be calling on at the moment to get essentials that they can't get anywhere else.
Yeah, so we've got quite a sizable elderly population, and we've had a lot of families move in, so our customer range is quite broad. And yeah, we've been trying to meet the needs of every type of different customer that's been coming in.
Okay, great. And in terms of supply, are you still managing to keep, you know, stuff on shelves? Has that been okay in terms of getting stuff on?
We've been very good, actually. It's been good to see One Stop have been fantastic. So just to put you in the picture, we buy 95% of our stock through One Stop. And so it's been good to see that they've been on the ball, and their communications have been very good. Because the one fear we had was when everything's going great, the model works very well. So it's been good to see that they've gone through these challenges. We've also used like a local Holzbrooker wholesale and Costco. So we've really just been trying to meet all the needs. and keep everything on the shelf. And it's worked well. It's been challenging, but we've been coping well.
And in terms of your staff, are you managing to keep staff levels up? Have you had to change opening hours or anything, or are you still sort of running?
We made some big changes recently over the weekend. It's been very stressful and tiring on the staff, on ourselves personally. So we made a change on our opening hours. We open later. So what we normally do is we open 6 till 10, 6 days a week. And on the Sunday, we open 7 till 10. What we've done now is we're opening at 7 a.m. and we're closing at 8. And it's actually been very supportive response from the local customers. We've had some good comments on our Facebook page. Whereas I think they really appreciate that we need a break ourselves.
Yeah.
Also, it gives us a chance to use those other hours to make sure the store's ready to trade as soon as we open, because we are finding queues at the doors as soon as, like, 7 in the morning.
Yeah, and I guess for a store that's a reasonably small store and a reasonably, well, a very busy store at the moment, everything that's come out this week about social distancing is really important. Can you just explain, because yep. I saw online that you sort of went early on this and put measures in place in store. Can you explain what you've done?
Yeah, so just put you in the picture. Our store's a brand new purpose-built supermarket. So we've actually been fortunate that we've got quite a lot of space around the counter that we use for promotions. So we started to notice early last week, about 10 days ago, that obviously we've got issues with queuing. So we had a massive Mother's Day display of flowers. So we moved that out, put that into another area of the store, and thought we need to sort out some queuing system. So I read a lot of news from around the world. So looking at what's been happening in Italy and Spain, not only on obviously what's happening with the virus, but with the way people are trading.
Yeah.
So obviously social distancing is now the buzzword. And looked it up online and put some measures into place where we've seen the distances that's been recommended is 2 meters. It's quite challenging at the start getting customers to adhere to it, but they were really supportive, and within a couple of days, everybody was sort of following the system. And so I was quite disappointed as well. I did tweet that the government hadn't come out, or Defra hadn't come out with these guidelines to ourselves, because it's leaving us in a bit of a vulnerable position. But it's great to see that the communications are coming out now too.
Yeah, I think because it's such a big change for people, having to stay quite far away, like you said, 2 meters is that recommended distance. I think it's just a bit of an adjustment period, isn't it? And it's great to hear that your local customers are.
Yeah, and
are
I just want to say thank you to you guys at the ACS for the advice. You're very quick to get things out there. We used your POS and download guides, and One Stop themselves have been very good. We've just had an email this morning, first thing, and they're introducing phase two of their social distancing. So
right,
they're actually the custom made POS that's being sent direct to the store, and we'll be able to adopt this obviously for the next few weeks and beyond if need be. So we're supported very well now. It's a very different place within a week. It shows how quick our industry can react as well, which is reassuring for ourselves and our customers and staff too.
Yeah, I think that's really important, isn't it? Because we've been on the calls with government and we've been talking with them about what stores can do. And to be honest, the lead time between an announcement and implementation is usually like, it's the night before they announce it, and then it happens. So guys like you that can react quickly.
It's really a big benefit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's been also picked up by our customers as well, because I think we've had a lot of new customers coming in the store, and we're actually seeing retention on them, which is very positive going forward. And also they've been commented on how quick we've been to react to shortages of stock. We were very early on. I think 2 weeks ago or more, we already implemented the restrictions on buying on products. So we had limits of two and one, and it's ensured people have got a fair amount of stock to take with them. So you have to be regimented. It has been hard, but it's been very appreciated by the customer.
good. Well, that's good to hear. And I think, like you said about all those new customers that you're seeing, I mean, hopefully they will be regular customers now. They'll be coming back after all this is after all this is finished. So,
and
you know, silver lining.
I think I just want to make a point. If you, these times like this is where you see the best and worst in people. And I think just now what we're seeing now is over the past week and a half, the community seems to come together a lot more, and there's a lot more, you know, people obviously worried and with what's going on in the wider society and everything, but everyone's come together, and it's a lot more, I think, a community spirit will hopefully come out of this, and which is a positive, definitely.
Yeah, and you're right at the heart of that, aren't you? So, you know, keeping that community going, which is obviously crucial. Okay, well, I appreciate you're busy this morning. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but thanks for having a chat with us. Just finally,
and thanks, Ben. Yep.
Because obviously you're very active on social media. It'd be good to give a shout out to your Twitter, because that's where we see a lot of the stuff that's going on in the store. So where can people find you on Twitter?
At One Stop Mount Nod, all one word. And anybody wants any help with anything, just give us a message, and we look forward to speaking to other retailers too.
Brilliant. All right. Thanks very much. Good to speak to you.
Thanks for your time.
Thanks again there to our man for talking to us on the podcast. Now, another type of retailer that is under a bit more pressure at the moment is a type of retailer that is open for 24 hours, which is the case for a lot of the forecourts out there. There's obviously the challenge of having many more staff to be able to cover, but also the challenge of if you are open 24 hours and you're always busy, then it's very difficult to replenish stock. So I thought it would be useful to talk to one of the most successful forecourt retailers in the country, independent retailers, Patrick Sewell, who's run Sewell Group up in Hull. Here is that conversation from a little bit earlier. Hello, Patrick. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good. Thank you, Chris.
Excellent. So for anyone who doesn't know what the business is like, just let us know how many stores you've got, sort of area, because they're obviously all forecourts.
Yeah, as you say, we're a forecourt operator with 24-hour sites. We open 365 days a year, so thus we never close our business. Based in Hull in East Yorkshire, all closely clustered together, all 13 stores are sort of within about a 30-mile sort of radius. Business at the moment thus far has been last week panic buying and manically busy, and the shop side of things, fuel wise. Pretty steady, not down at all, but just steady in terms of the fuel. And I guess each announcement day by day from the PM, we are sort of seeing a reduction in the sort of typical business profile of our transactions.
Sure. So, I mean, it's got to be a real challenge for you, obviously, like you say, being a 24-hour store that doesn't necessarily ever close. Are you having downtime enough to be able to get stock back on the shelves, or is it people panic buying all the way through the day and night?
Well, I think to an extent the panic buying passed. I think last week was the real sort of pinch point. Looking at a lot of our data, it's not actually that we've had more customers into the business. It's actually that the transaction, the basket spend, have been higher.
Okay.
So I guess we've been managing that, obviously, trying to get enough stock into the business. That's been a challenge from our supply chain, and going to umpteen different supply routes to get products, whereas maybe we might have a quite conventional or simple supply route normally.
Yeah, and I guess you're seeing people that are coming in thinking, oh, I'll just get one or two bits, and then basically filling up a full basket because they're seeing that you've got perhaps more stock than some of the bigger retailers, or at least that was the case last week.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, our business, our brand to the customers is Sewell on the go. And I guess that's meant to be a good strapline for what we are. We're very much on the go for customers for business, trade, or traveling from A to B and just picking something up. So it's a little bit different as to the sort of marketplace at the moment. It's not so much on the go because, you know, there isn't as much of that on the go trade. It's very much more localized and sort of communities that we trade in, which is similar to what we do normally, but not entirely.
Yeah, and another thing that I guess is unique about having a 24-hour business is that it's quite a high demand on staff time. How are you doing with that? Have you got a lot of people that are off isolating, or are you managing to keep up in terms of staff numbers at the moment?
Yeah, I guess you can sort of look at it two ways, really. It's kind of a burden and also a benefit, I think. I shouldn't really call my team a burden, they're not far from it. But in essence, we employ about 250 people in our retail business. So that actually gives us a lot of flexibility. I mentioned earlier on the fact that the sites are all very closely clustered. So we do lots of sharing of staff and cover and night shifts and such like. So we've got a big pool of people that we can draw upon. In terms of problems we've had with absence at the moment, I just did some numbers actually before I came on this call, and we're about 5% of our business are off one way or another, predominantly self-isolating, normally actually related to partners, not necessarily them directly, but the sort of knock-on effect of things.
Sure.
So yeah, 5%, around about 14 people or something like that. And because of the cycle we're in now, we're also seeing the fact that, you know, people have been isolated and are now starting to return.
Sure, okay. So I guess that's an advantage, isn't it, of having all the stores close together, is that, like you said, you can get that cover in where you need it.
Yeah.
One of the things that we've seen over the weekend was obviously all the measures that have been put in place on social distancing. And I was chatting to Aman from One Stop Mountain Nord earlier about what he's doing. How is that getting on? Because obviously forecourt sites are, you know, they're not enormous. How are you keeping customers apart?
Yeah, you're right. It's evolving very, very quickly. I've got some very good relationships with retailers in Ireland, and I think to an extent where they're at and the strategy that the Irish government has taken has been maybe a week or 2 weeks ahead of where we are in the UK. So I've had the opportunity to see some examples of how they've executed. And so certainly we've sought to have floor stickers, for the want of a better phrase, to sort of try to demonstrate to customers where they should stand and where they shouldn't, because I think people would initially just act in as normal. Mm. But now I think very simple thing, but the stickers on the floors are helping. People are talking amongst themselves and nudging each other backwards or forwards. And it's certainly helping our staff. And the next thing is, I guess, signage, being able to make it clear to people. So, like a lot of these things, it's habit, and people are not necessarily used to it up to now, but I think they're very quickly grasping the idea. I've been past other retailers, the supermarkets. You can see how it's starting to work, where people are just actioning it themselves. You know, there is a case for any retailer, ourselves or anybody else, to try to influence. But also, I think it almost becomes self-regulating, where people are saying, stand back from me, you know, you should be 2 metres away from me.
Yeah, sure, yeah. I think, actually, of all the messages that have come through government over the last couple of weeks, while we're still, you know, still struggling a bit with groups of people getting together and having random barbecues in parks and things,
yeah.
I think,
yeah,
actually, in retail environments, the social distancing stuff seems to be getting through. That message seems to be getting through, certainly when I've been out looking around, so... that's really good. Has it all been positive, though? Have you had any issues with, you know, customers frustrated about not being able to get stock? Have you had to put any limits on number of people in or amount of stock that they can buy? Have you had any, you know, issues with staff being shouted at, all that sort of thing? Or is it are people generally okay with what's happening at the moment?
I would say in the grand scheme of things. I mean, obviously, it's only the context of my business. We service about 75,000 customers a week. So actually, in those 75,000, I could literally count them on one hand or two at most, in terms of circumstances where something's sort of bubbled over a little bit. But I think the signage in store and the floor stickers and such like are helping just break a few barriers down, in terms of, you know, just in a quite light-hearted way. I've seen some of my team sort of just asking people, you know, are you in the box? And, you know, there's sort of people stepping back, and I don't know, just in the, as I said, just a very light-hearted way. So I would say in the grand scheme of things, just one or two instances, and I think that was probably early part of last week, and ever since it's been a lot better.
Okay, that's really good to hear, because I think you're right, and from other retailers that I've spoken to, they are very much aware that people are coming together on this, and that communities are being a bit more understanding, and, you know, some of the mad stuff that's happening is isolated rather than the norm. So it's good to hear that that's the case for you as well.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate that you're really busy, Patrick, so I won't keep up any more of your time. Thanks for giving us an update. And online then, on Twitter, because I'm doing this for everyone we talk to, where can anyone find out more about the business, more about the stores? What's your handle on Twitter?
It is good question. My personal one is Patrick Sewell 1, which is all one word. And our company one is Sewell on the Go.
Sewell on the Go. Okay, so Patrick Sewell 1 and Sewell on the Go. Make sure you're following those. Brilliant. All right, yeah. Thanks for speaking to us, Patrick.
All right, thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. Bye.
Cheers. So once again, thanks to Patrick for coming and talking to us on the podcast. I think it's really useful to get perspective from retailers live as to what's going on at the moment, because obviously it is an ever-changing situation, and getting that view of what's happening on the ground is really useful. If you are a retailer and you'd like to come and talk to us on the podcast, then please just drop me a message on Twitter. So either on Twitter at @ACS_localshops or at Chris Noyce is my personal account. Or you can email me chris.noyce@acs.org.uk if you have anything you want to update us on, anything particularly notable or interesting going on in the store, any issues with supply, any particularly creative social distancing, glass boxes, all that sort of thing. I would love to hear about it. We're going to keep chatting to retailers every week because you guys are on the front lines, and hearing from you is really valuable. So if you listened to the podcast last week, you will have heard James talking on local radio about home delivery and our home delivery guide. And I'm really pleased to say that actually that's taken off really well. So we've had over 30,000 views of that guide around the country, and hopefully that has enabled more retailers to be able to do home delivery in store. And talking to local radio stations, I think, is important at the moment. Radio is really booming at this time, where people are working from home. They're looking for things to listen to, they're looking for content, looking for things to do. So we're doing another round of radio interviews this week. And as you might have guessed, we're talking about social distancing, but we're also talking about how important it is to make sure that retailers and their staff are respected. And this builds on all the work that we did with the Home Office last year about ensuring that abuse is reported, and in these times of uncertainty, and we talked about communities coming together when I was talking to Aman and Patrick earlier. I think that is the case, but just hammering home the message that really no level of abuse or assault or anything like that on retailers or their staff is acceptable. So I'm going to play for you now the latest recording of local radio interviews that James has done, which is going out tomorrow.
CEO of the Associated Convenience Stores, James Lohman, joins me now for more. Thank you for joining me, James.
It's a pleasure.
So James, just once again, how are local shops coping with increased demand at the moment?
Well, we've seen ups and downs and the sort of fluctuations in trade that you usually not see over a 10-year period. And we've seen that all within the last week. Trade was immensely busy over the weekend. It's actually calmed down a little bit now, but we're finding different challenges. So specifically about how members are trying to cope with different groups of customers. So how do they serve particularly vulnerable customers? How do they serve NHS workers? Some have got hours set aside for older customers and things like that. And also, how do they offer some additional services like delivery services? And how do they get products into the store, most importantly? So it's gone from being all about that massive explosion in trade and trying to cope with that to now really trying to cope with three or four really challenging, difficult operational issues. But our members continue to stand up really well. They've got a very strong availability of products in the store. They're looking after all those vulnerable groups and everyone in the community. They're keeping product flowing through. So at the moment, we're hanging on really well.
So stores are definitely still getting deliveries.
Yes, they are. There are challenges in the supply chain just in terms of some staff absence in the supply chain. There's some problems with some products, obviously massive demand through major supermarkets. So that's drawing product there. So it's been a challenge for retailers getting literally 100% of everything they ordered through to the store. But in most products, they're getting most of what they ordered through. And they're supplementing that with getting deliveries from elsewhere. Some of them are talking to companies that usually supply restaurants and hotels and pubs and things like that. And they're getting their supplies through into their stores as well. So they're augmenting it through businesses that have lost trade. And they're trying to bring that product across into stores, which have got obviously much increased trade. So it's a challenge. It's, our members are working round the clock. It's really complex, really difficult for them. But they're coping immensely well, and the response from their communities has been fantastic.
Absolutely. And of course, there's continually changing advice from the government, but one thing that we're very certain on is social distancing needs to be adhered to. What are local shops doing about that?
Well, we've issued some advice on this, and you know, you're absolutely right to talk about social distancing, because it is an essential part of our strategy as a country to try to slow the spread of coronavirus. And this is about when you're out, and obviously first thing is to go out as little as possible, but when you are out for an essential purpose, to stay 2 meters from other people. And this obviously includes when you're in your local shop. So many of our members have put down stickers and tape on the floor to show roughly what 2 meters is, so people can stay that far apart. Some are limiting the number of people going into the store, and that'll be a store-by-store decision. It depends how big the store is. You can't say there should be a certain number in any store, but keeping people 2 meters apart, that's the message we're really, really focusing on. And so, yeah, that you'll go into a lot of stores now, and you'll see that tape on the floor, and that's just to help to explain to people what 2 meters actually is.
Now, of course, lots of people can't currently get into their local shop because they're isolating, or some vulnerable people just can't get out of the house. What are your members and other shops doing to help?
One of the things that's really amazed us in the last few weeks is how many local shops have now started to offer a delivery service, often out of nowhere. You know, often they've never done this before, but they've just seen that their local community need this. And so they're making their products available to order online, or often by people just phoning up. There are WhatsApp groups in local areas that retailers are on, and people are coming through and making orders. And what's been brilliant hasn't just been the efforts of the retailers to get those services up and running really quickly, but also the support from the community. We've heard from retailers, you've got volunteers coming in, helping them and making deliveries and making that all work for them. But I think very much the retailer, that convenience store, at the focal point of that community. And we produce guidance for retailers to help them to offer a delivery service if maybe they've never thought about it before, or they need to ramp it up having done just a little of it beforehand. And that guidance has been incredibly popular with retailers, because the big online grocery companies are doing a fantastic job, but they've only got so much capacity. You know, they can't suddenly increase their capacity. Their warehouses are only so big. They've only got so many vans out there on the road. But adding delivery into local stores is what can really increase the total volume of product that we can get through delivered to people's homes, which is incredibly important, because more people are now going to be isolating, following government advice, isolating as they've got symptoms, or shielding themselves because they're a particularly at-risk group.
Now, of course, a lot of positivity coming out of this seems to be spreading, a lot of altruism across the country. Have you heard from any of your members any negative stories, any kind of abuse that's come across?
I'm sad to say we have heard some negative stories about the treatment of our members and their colleagues in stores. I should say they are very, very rare examples. You know, the vast majority of people coming to stores now and at any time are supportive of their local store and the people who work there. They are contributing and helping with local deliveries. They're going and getting product for other people. So it's a great community effort. But sometimes, you know, it's a very stressful time, I think, for everyone. You know, I think everyone feels, whether they're shopping or not, that this is a particularly stressful time. And of course it is. And I think that sometimes those emotions are boiling over in store, sometimes with customers getting into altercations themselves, sometimes with customers not understanding that policies on things like distancing in store, policies on limiting the number of goods you can buy, which retailers are perfectly entitled to implement if they think that's going to help to maintain product availability. Sometimes customers aren't thinking and understanding that from the retailer's point of view. So we have seen some incidents where customers got very frustrated. And I'd just say to anyone listening to this that, you know, you step back and think about how we're all trying to get through this. The local shop has a really important role to play in helping communities through this, and try to give them the support that they need at this time, just as they're trying to give you the support as a community that you need at this time as well.
Important messages there from James, and we can't talk enough about how important it is that that retailers and colleagues are respected, especially at this time when, you know, everyone is going the extra mile, doing you know, doing more work than ever and going above and beyond to keep communities going. That's everything that we have this week on the podcast. We will be back again next week talking to more retailers, and probably with another set of radio interviews as well. Of course, all the information that we have and daily updates are available on the website at acs.org.uk. And I really want to get any feedback from you at all about, you know, what we should cover on the podcast. If there's anything you'd like to hear, if there's anyone you'd like to hear from specifically, then please let us know. Again, you can get in touch with us on Twitter at ACS_localshops.